This is track two of the CD, and it is a production of Living Truth Ministry of Colorado Springs, Colorado, and the voice of Ken M. Schmidt, the author of the book titled Not Afraid to Tell the Truth, and the production services of this ministry. This recording is a word-for-word rendering of the publications by Gary and Linda Miller of Grace Harbor Church, Arlington Heights, Illinois. The title of this booklet is Saved by the Grace of God. Contact information for interested parties will be given at the conclusion of this recording. God calls his book the Word of Truth. In 2 Timothy 2:15, God also describes himself in Titus 1 and 2 as the God who cannot lie. We can trust his book, the Bible, because God, who cannot lie, wrote it, and it is the word of truth, inspired by God, verbally, plenary, as he moved upon the men of God who wrote the word of God. This booklet will look at what God says about the brevity of life, the certainty of death, the necessity of the grace of God. God says that your life is short in duration. It is brief in time and appears to fly by. From Job chapter 7, verses 6 through 7, quote, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle," unquote. And in verse 7, quote, "Oh, remember that my life is like a wind," unquote. A weaver's shuttle is not something that we take or talk a lot about in these days. The action referenced here could be described today by the movement of a sewing machine needle going up and down. It doesn't take a long time for this to happen. In fact, it happens so fast that the eye cannot even see it. This is how fast Job declares his lifespan was to last. Man's days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. In Job chapter 9, verse 25 and 26, quote, Job says, "My days," and in verse 26, "they are passed away as the swift ships, as even the eagle that hasteneth to the prey." Swift ships pass very quickly. Have you seen an eagle hastening to its prey? It happens so fast that the prey gets caught off guard and becomes a meal for the eagle. What a picture the Lord gives for the brevity of life. In Psalms chapter 78, verse 39, it's described as a wind that passeth away. Quote, "For he," God, "remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again." Here God describes your life and mind as a wind. A wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Not a long-lasting wind, but a wind of short duration, quickly passing wind. And this wind is temporary, moving fast and not returning. Our time is short. Psalm 89, verse 47 says, "Remember how short my time is," unquote. God measures your and my life in time, and God says that it is short. We know that a child thinks that life is long. The child looks ahead in time and wishes it away to reach an age that he aspires to. Those at the other end of life know that the child is wrong and that God is right. Time is short, as God says so. You might say or hear someone else say, "Well, where did all of that time go? It went so fast. I can't believe it's coming to an end." The rapid passing of time proves the scriptures to be right. No matter how many years one's life lasts, at the end, he will agree with God, "How short my time is." As a withering grass from Isaiah 40, verse 6 through 8, all flesh is as of grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, and surely the people is as grass. God tells us that man is like grass. Grass doesn't last very long. Grass lasts for a while, for a little while, and then it withereth and dies. What a humbling description of man. We would prefer it if God would tell us that we are something strong and long-lasting, and perhaps like a great redwood tree that lives for thousands of years. Remember, God is telling us the truth. When we see the grass withering, we should be reminded of this verse that teaches us about the brevity of life. In Psalm 102:11, we read, "My days are like a shadow that declineth." As a shadow is a long early in the day, we see it upon the shadow that declineth. In the early days, a sundial was given as a way to keep time. And as the shadow moves along the sundial, we see it declining toward the end of the day. Well, it's not a long period of time from the early part of the day to the latter part of the day. As a shadow declines, so does one's life. God can teach the teachable even from a shadow. In James chapter 4, verse 14, life is described as a vapor that vanish. Quote, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away." Our life is as a vapor. Picture a tea kettle on the stove with steam coming out of the spout. This vapor can teach us something about the length of our life. It's short. God is demonstrating here that as the vapor appears for a little time and then vanishes away, so does our life. All of God's examples of the length of our life teach the same truth. Life is short. A weaver's shuttle, the wind, swift ships, an eagle hastening toward its prey, short time, declining shadows, withering grass, and a vapor all speak of brevity. God tells us that our life will be short and pass away very rapidly. And when this short time is over, it will conclude with death. God tells us why we die in His Word. God says in 1 Corinthians 15:22, quote, "For as in Adam all die," unquote. God explains this in Romans 5:12, quote, "Wherefore, as by the one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned," unquote. Sin entered the world because of the sin of Adam. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. That is what sin is, disobeying God. God cursed man with death, the penalty for sin. All men are sinners by nature, and death has passed to all men. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, God tells Adam and Eve, quote, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." We read how Satan changed the word of God to Eve and contradicted God with the words in Genesis 3:4. Quote, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die," unquote. God, who cannot lie, kept His word to Adam and Eve. They did die. God had two deaths in view here. One was spiritual, and one was physical. Their sin immediately broke their previously unbroken fellowship between them and God. They died spiritually. They were now dead to God. They were no longer in a right relationship to their Creator, God. They would also suffer a physical death sometime in the future. They both did die a physical death. Romans 5:12 says that death passed upon all men. And in 1 Corinthians 15:22, quote, "For as in Adam all die, all men die because we are, as God says, in Adam. Adam passed on his sin nature to all mankind." The Apostle Paul reminds us of our position before God in Romans 3:23, quote, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," unquote. We learn here that in addition to having a sin nature, we commit sins. Romans 6:23 says, and I quote, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord," unquote. The wages of our sin is death. God teaches that there are two deaths in view here. The first is our physical death, when our soul and spirit leave the body. Then the scriptures talk about a second death. The second death takes place when God judges sinful man and casts the unbelieving into the lake of fire. Hebrews 9:27 puts it this way, quote, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment," unquote. In Romans 6:23, we see the little word, but. Quote, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord," unquote. We learn here that God has provided and continues to provide a gift for man. The gift is eternal life, and it is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our response should be, "Well, how do I get the gift? How can I escape the penalty of my sin? How can I keep from being judged for my sin and being declared guilty and cast into the lake of fire forever? How do I receive the gift and have eternal life through Jesus Christ?" God has not kept the answers to these questions hidden or a secret. The Word of God is where we go to learn what God has said. God has always provided a gospel. God's Word that is to be obeyed by faith for man's salvation. Today, in the dispensation of the grace of God, God's gospel that can save us can be found in the following scriptures. Ephesians 2:8-9, quote, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast," unquote. And in Romans 3:24, quote, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus," unquote. And in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, verse 3 and 4, we read, quote, "Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures," unquote. It was the blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross that allowed God to be just in justifying sinners like you and me. From Hebrews 9:22b, I read, "And without the shedding of blood is no remission," unquote. Ephesians 1:7, I quote, says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace," unquote. God's gospel is clear and simple. It is a gospel of grace. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. God does all of the saving, and you do the believing. Salvation is a gift because it is provided freely for man by the grace of God. Salvation cannot be earned by anything you do. Salvation is not of works, lest any man would boast. God is able to forgive your sin and save you because his Son paid the penalty for your sin when he died on Calvary's cross. God is now free to save those who believe that gospel message. From Romans 3:24 we read, quote, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus," unquote. Grace is a marvelous word and a wonderful way for God to deal with his creation. Grace can be described as unmerited favor in the face of demerit. Grace is God's kindness to undeserving sinners. In Romans 8:32, we see an example of God's grace toward man. Quote, "He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things?" Unquote. God did not spare Christ. Christ went to the cross, and he died there for yours and my sins. This was an act of God's grace toward all mankind. Man didn't deserve it. There was no good thing in man to commend himself to God to encourage it. From Romans 5:8 and 9 we read, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him." Unquote. Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? God looks at your heart. God knows if your faith is resting in the Lord Jesus Christ and his substitutionary death for you on Calvary's cross, or if your faith is in something or someone else. God sees the heart. In Romans 4:3-4 we read, quote, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." The Scriptures are clear. God will save you by his grace when you cease trusting in yourself, or your religion, or anything else, and believe the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, and I quote, "For the preaching of the cross is to those that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God," unquote. The Holy Spirit uses the preaching of the cross in the dispensation of grace to save men. There is no soul salvation in trusting in or doing any of the following: no salvation by obeying the Ten Commandments, no salvation by doing your best, no salvation by living a good life, no salvation by doing good works, no salvation by obeying the golden rule, no salvation by giving money to the church, no salvation by church membership or attendance, no salvation by just praying, no salvation by being water baptized, no salvation by taking Holy Communion, no salvation by being confirmed, no salvation by doing penance. or by anything else that you do or your church does for you. Salvation is by the grace of God. Your part is to simply believe. Romans 11:6 puts it this way, and I quote, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is not more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." Unquote. Romans 4, verse 5, quote, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Unquote. Salvation is not a result of your trusting in Christ's substitutionary death on the cross and your work added to it. That is what religion teaches, not what the Word of God teaches. Salvation is a free gift. Free gift. You cannot work for a free gift. The gift of eternal life is free for us to receive, but it costs God the death of His only begotten Son. We cannot add anything to His payment of our sins. Christ did it all. Ephesians 1 verse 13 says this, and I quote, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Unquote. You can be saved right now by simply believing the gospel that Christ died for your sins and that His blood is the total payment for your sins. The moment you believe in your heart, God will forgive you and save you by His grace. Ephesians 1:13 tells us that we are then sealed with His Holy Spirit, which makes us His own for all eternity. This seal is God's guarantee that your salvation is eternal. Ephesians 4:30, 2 Corinthians 1:22. Another verse that's important to remember. Ephesians 4:30 says this, and I quote, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Unquote. And in 2 Corinthians 1:22, quote, "Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." Unquote. God did all of the saving, and He does all of the keeping. We can never lose our salvation. We are saved and kept by God's grace. God does all of the saving by His grace, and you can trust Him to keep you by His grace. Remember, life is short. Don't delay. Trust Christ today. Believe the gospel and be saved by the grace of God. This booklet was made available to you by fellow members of the Body of Christ at Grace Harbor Church and Gary and Linda Miller, 2822 Briarwood Drive East, Arlington Heights, Illinois, 60005. A phone number is 847-640-8422. If you found this booklet and the reading of it to be helpful, and you would like to find out more about God's glorious grace and all that He has done for you, please visit their website at www.grace-harbor-church.org. There you'll find other materials for both children and adults, including free Bible studies and freely downloadable recordings of their Sunday morning Bible teaching sessions. Thank you, and may God add the riches of His grace to the hearing of His word.